Aditi, what do you think about regenerative medicine?
To be honest, before this episode, like our listeners, I didn't know too much about it. In terms of like a medical standpoint and the procedures that are out there. But I think this episode is a really good, really good 30 minutes to learn more about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, before this, even like you, like, I just know it's something about like organs and like making new organs. But after doing today's episode, I believe that, you know, it's so much more than that. And I think our listeners are going to hear that as well. That being said, imagine a world where we can regrow damaged tissues, heal organs that have failed, and even reverse the effects of certain diseases. It's an exciting field that is quickly becoming a reality.
Yeah, so regenerative medicine focuses on repairing or replacing damaged cells, tissues, and organs, from lab-grown organs to stem cell therapy and 3D bioprinting. Today, we're exploring four groundbreaking advancements in this field that could redefine the future of healthcare.
Okay, let's kick it off with the most transformative areas of regenerative medicine, stem cell therapy. We're going straight into it. So, stem cells, just as a little quick little science lesson for our listeners, is like our body's raw materials. It's really capable of developing into any type of cell type, and it can be anything the body wants it to be. So it's kind of like the foundation of the body's repair system, which makes them incredibly powerful and especially purposeful for healing and regeneration.
Yeah, so stem cell therapy has already proven its value in treating certain types of cancer, like leukemia, through bone marrow transplants. But right now, scientists are taking it a step further by using stem cells to repair and even regenerate damaged tissues in conditions like heart conditions, osteoarthritis, spinal cord injuries, and even neurodegenerative diseases.
And let's start off with cardiac regeneration. So cardiac meaning the heart or anything really related to it. And then what we want to specifically talk about is like after a heart attack, parts of the heart muscles can die due to a lack of blood flow. And that can lead to a reduced heart function, which can be very dangerous and cause a lot of damage. Sorry about that. But traditional treatments aim to manage symptoms, but they can't regenerate lost tissues. And this is where the problem occurs. And this is really where stem cell comes in as well. A clinical called C-Cure, which was published in a journal called The Lancet, used stem cells derived from a patient's bone marrow to regenerate heart tissues. So the results actually showed a 20% improvement in a person's heart function compared to standard treatments. And this offers hope for millions of people living with heart failure.
Another application I found really exciting is spinal cord injury repair. So stem cells are being used to restore lost nerve function, and a breakthrough study conducted by researchers at the University of California in San Diego used neural stem cells to treat rats with severe spinal cord injuries. And so the treatments restored significant movement in the animals. And just last year, my clinical trial used mesenchymal stem cells, or we can call them MSCs, and that showed promising results in helping human patients regain motor function after spinal cord injuries. And this could, of course, pave the way for therapies that restore mobility for people who are paralyzed.
All great things. And even just listening to cardiac and like spinal cord injury repair, it just seems like really hopeful. And I know we're going to dive into more, but like, what do you think about those?
No, I think it's really interesting, and I know that a couple labs at McMaster are looking into this, and I just think like there's a lot to learn.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
especially like as health science students, like we do come across like healthcare innovations on the daily, but even then, like the science behind it is so complex.
Agree. Yes, I agree. And like moving forward, let's talk about osteoarthritis. So it's basically arthritis within the bones, and the condition affects millions of people worldwide, often leading to debilitating pain and the need for joint replacement surgery. So you know, think about in your knee, your shoulders, your elbow. And a study published in Nature demonstrated how stem cells were used to regenerate cartilage in the patient's knee. Cartilage, think of it as like a cushion for all the joints. They make sure that the joints are, in a comfortable spot and allow it to be more mobile. And so when a person has arthritis specifically, this cartilage in itself is weakened and or kind of thawed off. And this is where if the bones don't have that cushion, you would have a lot of bone-to-bone contact, which can be really painful. And then so what they did is use the stem cells to regenerate the cartilage back into the person's knee. And so this innovative therapy not only reduced pain, but improved mobility and even helped delay and eliminate invasive surgeries like knee replacements or even hip replacements later on. So this trial found that over 80% of patients experienced significant improvements after the stem cell injection.
Yeah, it's really incredible how versatile stem cells are. Researchers are even using them to tackle neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's. So in a study at Kyoto University in Japan, scientists transplanted induced pluripotent stem cells into the brains of patients with Parkinson's. And the cells replaced damaged dopamine-producing neurons, which are essential for controlling movement. And early results showed reduced symptoms and a much more improved quality of life, which mark obviously a major milestone in treating conditions previously considered irreversible. And as a TA, do you want to add anything on to that, especially with Parkinson's?
Yeah, I think neurodegenerative diseases are really scary to look at. Like, I remember even, like, volunteering at, like, a senior home, and they would literally put all the people with Parkinson's and dementia in one floor, which is, like, the highest floor. And you can clearly see, like, it's a very sad disease. And with Parkinson's, the road to recovery is very rough. And even just, like, as the disease progresses, it's a big toll on, like, not just a person, but, like, people taking care of them, the family members, the friends, even the hospice workers. So I think this disease is something that needs to be tackled, and I think stem cells, like, really promising in that way. But moving on, there's another great promise in stroke recovery. So strokes often result in brain damage and long-term disability. Basically, a stroke occurs when there's a lack of blood flowing to a part of the brain. It can be due to, like, maybe a tumor that's stopping it. It could be like some type of aneurysm. Whatever it is, it usually results in brain damage. So a clinical trial called Pisces 2, not the star sign, but used stem cell derived from fetal brain tissues to treat stroke survivors. So fetal, like, basically anybody from the age of, like, 0 months to around, I think, around 6 months. I don't know too much about that, but it's still anybody, basically a fetus, and using their brain tissue to regenerate stem cells and kind of putting those in back to the stroke patient. And patients have showed remarkable improvements in mobility even after years of having that stroke. And one participant who's been wheelchair bound for many, many years actually regained the ability to walk with a cane, which is significant.
No, that's really impressive. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I want to know is engineered stem cells.
Yeah.
So scientists are using CRISPR technology to modify stem cells, making them even more effective in targeting specific diseases. So, for example, researchers at Harvard are developing stem cells that are resistant to immune system rejection, and that allows for safer and more universal treatments.
And what's especially exciting is how stem cell therapy is being integrated into personalized medicine. And we talked about this in a previous episode, but doctors can now use a patient's own stem cell to reduce the risk of rejection and complication. And an example of this is fat-derived stem cells, which are extracted during liposuction and are being used to regenerate tissues in patients with burn or injuries. And a study in Stem Cell Translational Medicine, a journal, showed that over 90% of patients treated with their own fat-derived stem cells experienced significant wound healing and reduced scarring.
Yeah, and the economic impact of these advancements are also really worth noting and are really impressive. A report by the Alliance for Regenerative Medicine projects that the global stem cell therapy market will exceed $20 billion by 2030, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And 2030 is not too far.
Like, what, 10 years away? Oh my gosh, 6 years away. It's too early in the morning.
Honestly, about five. No, it really puts into perspective 2018 feels like a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
Definitely not.
Uh-huh. And,
Anyways, and this growth reflects the increasing accessibility of these therapies, which are once confined to experimental trials, but are now becoming part of mainstream medicine.
Mm-hmm. And while challenges remain, like me figuring out what dates are, the high cost of treatments and the need for more long-term data, the potential stem cell therapy is still undeniable. It's not just about treating symptoms anymore. It's about addressing the root cause of a disease and giving the body the tools to heal itself.
Yeah, stem cell therapy truly embodies the promise of regenerative medicine. It's offering hope to millions of people with conditions that were once considered untreatable. And from regenerating damaged hearts and cartilage to restoring nerve function and reversing neurodegenerative diseases, the possibilities are truly endless.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the perfect time to take a quick little break and talk about some community PSAs. So first up, all your art lovers, on December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Art Gallery of Hamilton, join a conversation with the current and former directors of the Art Gallery of Hamilton as they discuss 110 years of art collection. They will discuss the decisions that built the AGH collection, the director's priorities, the challenges they faced, and their choice that reflect broader sociocultural, political, and artistic trends of the day. Buy your tickets at the AGH website. And again, that's at December 12th at 7 p.m. Next up, at December 13th at 7 p.m. as well, at Gasworks, it presents a Christmas concert with Dave Siverins featuring Kenzie Klein. So following Dave's 2023 full-length Christmas release, Presents, you will be serenaded by a fantastic group of musicians playing rich originals and classic carols, exploring the presence of Christmas. The night will be opened up by the fantastic Kenzie Klein and will be the perfect opportunity for you, your family, your friends, to get into the Christmas spirit. Get your tickets at eventbrite.ca. And last up, at December 13th, at 9:30 p.m. at the Playhouse, Black Christmas is playing. So Black Christmas is one of the most important Canadian horror movies of all time and is now considered a classic of both the Christmas and the horror genres. Get your tickets at the playhousewebsite.ca. Okay, everybody, welcome back. We are starting our second topic. Me and Aditi were talking about regenerative medicine, but now we're going to pull ahead, kind of get our act together and talk about 3D bioprinting. Aditi, what are your thoughts before we dive right in?
My familiarity was more with, like, 3D printing.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. For instance, like one research lab of mine is 3D printing bones and different organs.
Oh yeah, for, the anatomy lab.
Yeah, for research purposes. And so I guess like the concept of 3D printing tissue cells and organs, like you said, are really interesting. And like moving forward, researchers are already using bioprinting to create functional tissues like skin for burn victims and blood vessels for bypass surgeries. And for instance,
sorry, I think we're having some technical issue.
And for instance, OrganOvo, a leading company in this field, has successfully created the 3D printed liver tissue. And while it's not yet at the stage where it can replace a damaged liver, the tissue has shown potential for testing new drugs and even screening for toxic side effects, reducing the need for animal testing. And this could dramatically improve the drug development process, making it safer and more effective.
Yes, and the potential of 3D bioprinting doesn't really stop there. Scientists are now working on printing more complex organs like kidneys, lungs, and hearts. And a groundbreaking achievement came from the Tel Aviv University in Israel, where a team successfully 3D printed a tiny heart using a patient's own cells. And although it's too small to transplant, this was the first time researchers were able to create a fully vascularized, so anything with blood vessels, heart from a patient's own tissue. This breakthrough is a major step towards tackling organ shortages and creating personalized organs tailored to the individual.
Yeah, and that's, of course, a huge deal. The challenge with organ transplantation today is organ rejection. After a transplant, patients need to take lifelong immunosuppressive drugs to prevent their immune system from attacking the foreign organ. But with the 3D printed organs made from the patient's own cells, the risk of rejection could be eliminated. And this means that 3D bioprinted organs could offer a future where patients don't need to rely on immunosuppressants, and that reduces complications and, of course, improves quality of life.
Mm-hmm. And there's even more exciting progress. Researchers are now developing bioprinted tissue and organs that can be integrated with the patient's body in a way that promotes healing now. So, for instance, in one study, scientists at the Wake Forest Institute of Regenerative Medicine were able to 3D print vascularized tissue that mimics human blood vessels. And this tissue could one day be used in organ transplants and preventing the organ from dying when they are transplanted by ensuring that that organ itself and everything around them is receiving proper blood flow right from the start.
Yeah, the creation of blood vessels is really important because without them, the tissue can't survive for long periods mm-hmm. outside the body. And with a complex organ like the heart or the liver, the goal is to print not only the tissue itself, but also the blood vessels that actually allow nutrients and oxygen to circulate throughout the organ. And that's why vascularization is a major hurdle in the bioprinting of full-sized functional organs. But it's one that researchers are definitely making significant strides in overcoming.
Yeah, and there are also huge implications for drug testing and personalized medicine now. So with bioprinted organs made from patients' own cells, it can be used to test how a patient will respond to different drugs before the treatment is given. For example, bioprinted kidney tissues can be used to treat drugs for renal toxicity, ensuring that the patient only receive medication that are safe for their kidneys. And this type of personalized drug testing could be a game changer, leading to more tailored and effective treatments for individual patients.
Another exciting aspect of 3D bioprinting is its potential to address organ shortages. According to the United Network for Organ Sharing, or UNOS, over 100,000 people in the U.S. alone are currently waiting for an organ transplant, and unfortunately, many of them will pass before a match is found. And that's like really disheartening to hear.
Yeah, and while there are, and as 3D printing technology improves, the cost of producing bioprinted organs could decrease, as well as making the technology more accessible to healthcare systems globally. For instance, printing small tissues from testing could already be integrated into hospitals and research labs, paving the way for more complex applications down the road.
Yeah, and if 3D bioprinting becomes viable for creating full functional organs, it could provide a solution to the organ shortage crisis, saving thousands of lives each year. And while there are still many challenges to overcome, such as the scalability of printing large organs and ensuring they function properly once implanted, the progress we're seeing is extraordinary. Researchers are exploring new materials such as bioinks made from natural human tissue to enhance the quality and function of bioprinted organs. This is helping us move closer to the day when bioprinted organs could become a mainstream medical solution.
Okay, and to add even more excitement, 3D bioprinting could have a major impact on treating conditions like diabetes, something we talked a lot about in our previous week's episode. But researchers are working on printing functional pancreas tissue, which could be used to help people with type 1 diabetes, and the hope is that bioprinted pancreas tissues could restore the ability to produce insulin, offering a cure for those who rely on insulin injections for survival.
Yeah, the future of regenerative medicine is bright, and 3D printing, bioprinting is at the forefront of this revolution. And from creating functional organs to advancing drug testing and providing personalized solutions, the technology has the potential to save lives, reduce medical costs, and improve the quality of life for patients worldwide.
Yeah. So, Aditi, after talking about all that, what are your thoughts on bioprinting? Like, why don't you share a little bit of your experience working in that lab?
Yeah, so our research is more so, and doesn't involve vascularization like we talked about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the past, or even not too much right now, but mostly in the past, it has involved 3D printing specific bones. So for instance, like the pelvis area, the scapula, which is in your back, and the humerus, which is your upper arm bone, and different sorts of bones, and looking at the different landmarks, because the lab that I'm in really focuses on anatomy education. So not that we're revolutionizing medicine, but we are more focused on the education side when we're training our future doctors and healthcare professionals. And so when we are 3D printing these organs, we are using them in our study for anatomy education. And so that's why vascularization is really such a mind-blowing thing to me, because when we were printing, 3D printing these bones, I generally didn't really understand how healthcare professionals are considering for cartilage or osteocytes or the different aspects that functionally make a bone in the human body, or even organs for that matter. So I definitely found that really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I think the work that you're doing is very interesting. I remember going by the labs and like even playing with the 3D models you guys create.
Yeah.
Was really helpful when I was studying the course. So really exciting work. And moving on from that, we can talk about a groundbreaking innovation in regenerative medicine, which is cellular reprogramming, a technique that can turn ordinary cells into stem cells capable of developing into any cell type in the body. So I know we talked a little bit about stem cells in the first kind of half of our segment. What this reprogram is basically doing is like getting any cell and reversing it back to a stem cell. So kind of like a backwards loop in a way.
Yeah, so cellular reprogramming involves reactivating certain genes to transform mature specialized cells like skin cells into induced pluripotent stem cells, as I mentioned earlier. And these stem cells behave just like embryonic stem cells, but without the ethical concerns associated with using embryos. So once reprogrammed, these cells can be guided to develop into heart, liver, nerve, or even other types of cells for therapeutic processes or purposes.
Mm-hmm. And a prime example of this technology potentials, again, we're coming back to neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's, and researchers have successfully reprogrammed a patient's skin cells into dopamine-producing neurons, which were then transplanted back into a patient. So a little bit of like anatomy lesson, but when somebody has Parkinson's, their dopamine levels are very low, and when it's very low, this can cause a lot of other like extrasensory like symptoms, such as like twitching and uncontrollable movement. And so what this technology is doing is that recreating that dopamine by taking a patient's skin cells and making it into dopamine producing neurons, and hopefully bridging that gap with the lack of dopamine they had originally. So early results have showed improved motor function and reduced symptoms, which is great.
Yeah, and cellular reprogramming is also being used to repair damaged heart tissue after heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists are reprogramming fibroblasts, which are scar-forming cells around the heart, into healthy heart muscle cells, which directly in the patient's body. And this could significantly improve recovery after cardiac events, like a stroke we mentioned earlier, and reduce the need for heart transplants.
Mm-hmm. And if we want to look at wound healing now, with cellular reprogramming, you can actually explore regenerate skin for burn victims, and this can reduce the risk of infection and scarring. In fact, some studies suggest that in the future, we may be able to spray reprogrammed cells onto wounds and accelerate the healing process and restore damage. It's like basically spraying extra skin onto the damaged one.
Yeah, and what I found really exciting about cellular reprogramming is that its potential for in situ regeneration, meaning the cells are reprogrammed directly within the body rather than in a lab. And this can make treatments less invasive and more accessible, especially for conditions like liver or kidney disease, where transplant options are limited. Like we did mention earlier, there are 100,000 people in the U.S. waiting for an organ transplant. And so this could really tackle that issue.
Mm-hmm. And so cellular reprogramming truly exemplifies the transformative power of regenerative medicine. By giving ourselves a second chance to become something new, we're opening up a possibility for treatments that were once unimaginable. Whether it's repairing damaged organs, treating incurable diseases, or improving recovery outcomes, this treatment is taking us one step closer to a world where regenerative medicine changes lives every day. And I think before we kind of end off our program, we want to talk a little bit about lab-grown organs. We'll just touch upon that because it's kind of redundant in our episode. We talked about it, but maybe just looking at the specifics, you know, the U.S. alone, more than 100,000 people need organs. And so researchers are growing functional organoids, miniature simplified versions of organs like the liver and kidney and brain. So while these organoids are not yet like full size or functional yet, they're a good kind of starting tool for us, and they have a critical role in studying the diseases and seeing the disease in a way that has never been seen before, and really touching it and seeing the different ways we can go from there. So they're helping researchers understand more complex conditions in that way.
Yeah, and it's of course happening a lot faster than we really notice. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, a team of scientists at the University of California in San Francisco successfully grew kidney organoids using stem cells. And these organoids mimic the key structures of a human kidney and even exhibited early signs of functionality, and one of them being is filtering waste. And while these kidney organoids aren't ready for human use just yet, the research is progressing rapidly. In 2021, a team at OrganOvo, known for their work in 3D printing, did create a 3D printed liver tissue that's been used to test for drugs and study liver disease, such as liver cirrhosis. And the success of these early stage organs is definitely paving the way for the potential creation of fully functional kidneys, livers, and of course other organs in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's also a huge ethical benefit to this as well, right? So the ability to grow organs in a lab from a patient's own cells means that we don't need organ donations anymore, whether that's from living or deceased donors. And this not only eliminates ethical dilemmas surrounding organ donations, but also that long wait times that we've been talking about this entire episode. And then the WHO, or the World Health Organization, has actually projected by 2040 the demand for organ transplants will rise by more than 50%, which is very jarring to think about. But if we can create organs in the lab, we can solve this growing crisis.
That's a lot more, 50%.
Yeah.
By 2040, that means like more than 150,000.
Yeah, and that's like what, 15 years from now?
Yeah. Now you got your dates.
Yeah, I got
right.
It. But yeah. Yeah.
No, definitely like there's a lot of future for regenerative medicine. Mm-hmm. And as we said, from stem cell therapy and 3D bioprinting to gene therapy and lab-grown organs, it's clear that scientists are moving closer to making the impossible possible.
Absolutely. Regenerative medicine isn't just, again, about treating the disease. It's about restoring a person's health by giving them a second chance of life and improving their quality of life, especially.
Yeah, and as we wrap up today's episode, we encourage all our listeners to stay informed and inspired by these advancements. Regenerative medicine is not just the future, it's happening right now, and it has the potential to change lives in profound ways.
Mm-hmm. And so thank you guys so much for tuning and joining us today into the Science of Hope. We'll be back next Monday with more stories of resilience, innovation, and progress in healthcare.
Yep, and remember, knowledge is power, and understanding the different treatment options out there are essential for making the best decisions for yourself or your family. Thank you for joining us on this journey throughout the exciting world of regenerative medicine. We hope you found today's decision insightful and uplifting. And until next time, stay hopeful. This has been The Signs of Hope with your co-hosts Aditi and Sabina on 93.3 CFMU.
Thank you guys so much. See you next week.
See you next week.
6 to 9 p.m. of Wednesday, the 12th of March. You guessed it, it's Open Mic at The Grind. The Grind once again teamed up to present the brightest and most talented people in our community, and they are actually you. If you'd like to be a talent, stop by at The Grind to sign up, which is located at the basement of Togo Salmon Hall, the Arts Quad. If you'd like to just come have a seat, get a little drink or coffee,